before Eileen leads us in communion. I've actually got this in two parts, one before and one after. And I've given it the title. Yes, yeah, we'll do that after, Pat, no problem. I've entitled it Testing, Testing, 1, 2, 3. When anybody comes up to a mic and they say test it, there's one or two things they either do. Either they come up to it and it drives the sound engineer wild. He looks something, oh no, and they go, you know, the damage it's doing to the microphone, you come up and sort of thump it like that's incredible. People who sort of maybe know a little bit more will come up to it and go, testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, because suddenly you've got to speak and you can't think of what you're going to say. And all they want you to do is ramble on so they can set the sound levels. We're used to the idea, certainly in our present day sort of world, of periodic testing. You'll all be familiar with these periodic tests. Perhaps you go out in the garden. If you're gardening, you have what they call an RCD, a residual current device, which if it detects that you've got the shears out, you've gone straight through the wire, then it'll kill it without killing you. Okay? And the idea is that you will test these before you use them every single time. Okay? Most of them, as soon as the power's away from them, the switch drops, and what you have to do is reconnect it and test it straight away so you know it's working. So every time you use it, you test the RCD. We've been working on Stephen's house, and some of the things we've been doing is testing the connections and what have you, and we've been using a neon screwdriver. At one point he was actually changing the light fitting, and I mean he knows it, but I drill it into him as well. The first thing you do, you take your neon screwdriver and you touch it on a live part to make sure it lights. Yeah? Because otherwise you could come to it and it doesn't work. And you think, oh yeah, there's nothing there. And there could well be. So the first thing you do is check it against the live current to make sure it's working. You test it. If you've got a car or anything like that, once it's past 3 years, it gets its annual death sentence at the MOT. All right? It has to be tested. And then every year thereafter. You might have come across PAT, portable appliance testing, where all electrical items by law are tested. So we're used to the idea of periodic testing. But we also don't just test things, we test people as well. If you're in the school system, the number of exams that the kids have to go through is incredible. They're continually testing them. They're almost testing the tests to see how well the tests are performing. Yeah? In my day and age, you used to have O levels and A levels, GCSEs, GCSEs now, all sorts of things, yeah? You get used to the idea of testing people as well. You sit exams. And a friend of ours is a doctor, and she seems to be continually taking exams. There's a new exam that you got to take to do this, and another exam that you take to do that, as she progresses through the field. One of the things that I do at work is work with refrigeration. If you are working with refrigeration, you are tested and then retested. Every 5 years you have to go back to make sure that the knowledge that you have, the skills that you have, are up to date, in line with present legislation, and that you're competent. Other fields too have a similar thing, where they're retested again and again. You're tested for what you know, and you're tested for how you carry things out. In the Christian life too, there is testing. And if nothing else, at a service like this, there is a weekly test. It's easy to take for granted. It's easy just because it's what we always do to pass by the words that we read in 1 Corinthians 11:28, that everyone examine themselves. A weekly test, a check. Where are we at? The word that's used there for examine or for testing is the Greek word dokimazo. It means to test, to examine, to prove, to scrutinize. We're called upon, each one of us, to look at ourselves before we take communion. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. The word used there for examine, it means to almost put on trial, put on test. And the purpose is to ascertain whether you pass or not. A weekly event. Where are we at? It's a moment of reflection, a moment of consideration. We're called upon to look back over the past, however long it is since we took communion last time, to examine ourselves and look and see, has anything happened that perhaps shouldn't have happened? Anything didn't happen that should have happened? Where are we at? Where's the relationship at? Stephen and Stacey at the moment are in the honeymoon period where everything's wonderful. But anybody who's been married for any length of time realizes that there are times when you don't get along. There's one relative we have who, if he's upset, he doesn't speak. And that not speaking can go on and on and on. We're talking weeks when he won't speak. And you think, how can you exist in the same house without speaking? But that's how he handles disagreement. And that's not how it's supposed to be. If there's disagreement, we seek to sort it out. If there's disagreement with us and God, we need to sort it out. In that sense, let's not get out of the honeymoon period with God. You know, it says in Revelation about having left the first love. You sort of grown used to things. Where are we at? Don't rush by. Pause. Consider. Reflect. Paul isn't saying, do not take communion. What he is saying is, pause before you take communion. He's saying, consider. Confess and consume. Consider where you're at. If there's anything that needs putting right, put it right. Or say, I will put it right. But then go on to consume those elements that are presented before us. Sometimes people look and say, I'm not worthy to take communion. And you know they're dead right. Because none of us is. None of us are worthy to partake of our own volition, our own worthiness. God calls us to take communion. He says, to each one of us, specifically, nobody missed out, consider, confess, consume. Eileen, would you lead us, please? Sometimes when people stand up here and say, I spoke on this subject, you know, a little while ago, can you remember what I said? Well, hopefully that won't be an issue. Have you come across the term, the phrase, the initials, CPD?
Yes.
Yeah? Continual professional development. The idea is that we never stop learning. The idea is that we achieve a certain level of competency, knowledge, experience or whatever, but then we don't just stay there. We go on. We develop, we progress. The idea of CPD was brought home to me quite forcibly one time when I was in a lecture, and the guy said, do you realize that the information that I'm passing on to you in 5 years, it might be out of date. So do you realise that the information that I'm passing on to you in 10 years' time might be considered ancient? He says, do you realise that in 15 years' time it might even be considered dangerous? And the idea being that, yeah, we brought you to this level, but don't just sit there. Go on. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. I'd like to change the P in the CPD and change it to continual professing development. Okay? The faith that we profess. We need to develop in the faith that we profess. We need to develop in the faith that we proclaim. The word that's translated there unswervingly, it's taken from an idea of somebody who's navigating a ship to hold it on course. The ship is going. It will continue to move. But without somebody to pilot it, it could go anywhere. It needs someone to hold it on course. And the writer to the Hebrews said, let's pilot this ship correctly. As we were saying earlier, you know, some tests are one-offs. Driving tests, examinations. But people realise that the knowledge that we acquire needs to be developed, and we need to develop. They also realise that people being people, standards slip. So that you might have gone for your exam at school, and have you ever heard it said afterwards, oh, I can't remember anything about that at all. I've forgotten it all. I revised the night before, and I can't remember a thing about it, but I got my piece of paper. Unfortunately, that is human nature. We do tend to let things slip, let things drift. As we're saying in my field in refrigeration, you tested and retested to make sure you're still working according to the book. And as things develop, you're up with it. As things have progressed and as knowledge has increased, you've not been left behind. We have a responsibility to work at developing our faith, because God will be working with us at developing our faith. Philippians 2:12 says this, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that word there, work out, it means to fashion or to produce. If you were at the wedding, you would have seen the flower displays and everything else. What you probably didn't see is Ruth actually making, producing those displays. The corsage, the things in the fish bowls. Yeah, I'm really good with these names, aren't I?
Table decorations.
Table decorations, that's right. You wouldn't have seen the development that was taking place. Perhaps all you saw was a finished article. When we meet Jesus, that's the finished article. Until then, we are producing, we're fabricating, we're working on our faith. And God is aiming to work with us to produce and develop our faith. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1-2, Paul says this, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. We receive teaching. We live in situations. How do we react? And the idea is that we develop, that we grow. As we come across a new situation that challenges our faith, the opportunity is to grow. The opportunity is to develop. Different people, different circumstances, but God is wanting to work with us to develop our faith, to continually develop our faith. Do we learn? Are we prepared to change? There are fundamentals that will not change, but our faith needs to develop from that infant faith, that first faith, to a more mature faith. In 1 Corinthians 3:10-15, Paul says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. Someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even as one escaping through the flames." Each one of us continue to build on the foundation that's been set in our lives, the foundational faith. As we develop in knowledge and practice, we develop in our faith. But just as professionally, sometimes you take shortcuts, maybe get into bad habits, even as Christians we can do the same thing too. Paul says this, "Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command, in keeping with the prophecies once made over you, so that by recalling them you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and have suffered shipwreck with regard to their faith." So people had drifted away, got onto the wrong ideas. He said there, an example of that was two people, Hymenaeus and Alexander. In 2 Timothy 2:17, he says, "The teaching of these people is spreading like gangrene. They have departed from the truth." Go back to what I was saying about Hebrews, about the ship being on course. They've drifted away. Swerved. Deviated. There are times when we need to consider and to make adjustment. If you've got a sat nav, you've undoubtedly come across a situation where you haven't done what the sat nav has told you to. And the number of times I've heard the instruction come to me, make a U-turn. You're going the wrong way. You know, I remember when they first came out, one of the guys, who he was a rep, he says, "I couldn't believe it." He says, "This electronic device was telling me off. You know, telling me to turn around, turn left, turn right, do this, do that." He says, "You're a machine." But the machine was right. And we have to listen to the voice that says, make a U-turn, or take the next left, take the next right, because you've deviated. If we've gone wrong, we need to go right. In Psalm 119:59-60, the psalmist says this, "I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands." I've considered where I'm going, realized it's not right, and I've turned. I've gone off course. I need to correct. I've gone wrong. I need to go right. My continual development at the moment is heading in the wrong direction. I'm going the wrong way. Can we say with the psalmist in Psalm 26 verse 2, "Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind." Or Psalm 139:23-24, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The word there that's used, "search me," it means a deep, penetrating as opposed to superficial examination. We were talking about an MOT. Sometimes you can take a car for a test. You look at it and you might think, "That looks all right." That's a superficial examination. When you take it for a test, They get underneath. They look. They check. Are the bearings worn? Any joints not working properly? They take a more invasive test, a more penetrating view. And the psalmist here is saying, God, take a good long look at me. And is there anything that's wrong? God's purpose is restoration in that look. It might be painful, it might be difficult, but the aim is to bring us back on course. That our continued development in our profession of faith is in the right way, along the right lines. Are we continuing along the path of truth? Will we take up the call and engage in continued professing development?